just a few moments, we'll be singing a song to encourage anyone that would like to be obedient to God's Word, but I've made the statement before and let me make it again. If during any time during my lesson, if you have a need that we certainly would need to pray for or help you in your obedience to God, don't wait, raise your hand or whatever, and we'll certainly take the time out to make sure that whatever your needs are met the best of our ability in a spiritual way. We've been talking about miracles, and certainly we've discussed things from all the way from the Old Testament to the New, and we haven't touched everything, but we've tried to touch enough of it to get a basis for where we're going with all of this. And so we've gone from things that happened in the Old Testament that were signs and wonders that were beyond the norm. And we moved to the New Testament. We talked about Jesus and His ability to do so many wonders and signs and miracles. And now we're going to move on to those that would carry that on. And we're going to discuss that today. And then at the end of this, hopefully we will be able to move to what will be the last lesson. I don't know if it'll be next week or not, being the third Sunday, with hopefully Roger will be preaching at least one of those times. We'll see when he comes back, but certainly I want to conclude this in a way that I hope will be easy to understand. And so today we're going to limit what we're talking about to specific things so that we can look at those things, and then in the next lesson we'll certainly be a little more open on what this is all about and why it was done and that sort of thing. But certainly appreciate you being here today. It is good to be out. It's been beautiful weather this past week. There's not one thing I could complain about all week as far as the weather was concerned. I made up for it in a lot of other areas, but no, I'm just thankful to God for all that I've received, not just the blessings of weather, but everything else. Today's another beautiful day. It's the most amazing thing that God can just brighten our lives in ways that we don't even understand sometimes or appreciate as much as we should. We live in this world, and certainly we should appreciate the physical things that we have. We've talked about Jesus performed many, many miracles while He was on earth. And in Acts 2, verse 22, as a conclusion basically to what we talked about last week, Peter, in preaching the first gospel sermon, in fact, this would be after the death of Jesus, and certainly it had been talked about, but now it has come to pass. Jesus has died. He has risen from the dead. And now He's back in heaven. And as we look at this, he discussed what Joel had to say. Now, certainly we don't know if we have the whole lesson recorded here, but we have what God and the Holy Spirit wanted us to know from this lesson. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you in His fleshly form. He was proven to be who He said He was." How? "By miracles, wonders, and signs." And these are those words we've been using that we'll talk about again today. But it simply says, "which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." He is saying, look, you know this. There's nothing been hidden about this. And Mark 16 would simply let us know that this was done to confirm the Word. In Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, that we've used before, I won't use it again today, I'm just putting the Scriptures up, says exactly the same thing. First Jesus, and then them. And so, how did they confirm this? How could they prove where they came from? Well, Jesus could do it. How? By the miracles, signs, and wonders. Did He say, okay, you need to be obedient to the miracles, signs, and wonders? Are those a necessary thing if you don't have the Word? Well, of course. He had to prove where He came from. Now again, a miracle is defined by Webster. An extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. An extremely outstanding or unusual event, thing, or accomplishment. Then we use these two words that are used the most, and you'll find them translated signs, wonders, and miracles in the New Testament. And I won't certainly put the Old Testament words up again. But they basically mean something that's beyond the natural. Now, they are used in other ways in the New Testament. And we have this word, is actually the word force. We have a word that we use to measure force with that same transliteration of that word. So I want to go back now and look at something from Matthew 10, Mark 6. I'm going to do Matthew 10, the whole chapter. I'm not going to read it. Mark 6, 7 through 13. Luke 9, 1 through 6. Now, why is this called a limited commission? Well, they were only to go out to the Jews, and they were only to teach certain things. They could not teach that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead at this point. They could not teach some things about the necessary things to do for salvation at this point because Christ hadn't died on the cross. But they were sent out to, if you will, provide the basis of what's going to happen. And so as a result of that, when they went out, they could not take to people this New Testament. It was not written. So what they could take was the Old Testament. Then they could prove they came from God and things were changing. How did they do that? With miracles, signs, and wonders. And so Jesus gave them this ability. You know, people have argued about the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't say anything about the Holy Spirit in this. The Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about this, we'll see when that was given to them. But Jesus gave them the ability to do some things. First, He gave them power. That's that word, power. Power. And with this power came some extraordinary things that they were capable of doing. Again, why? They were going to go talk to the Jews. What were they going to tell them? Things are going to change. The kingdom of God's coming. You need to recognize this. How were they going to show to them that this was all going to happen? Well, with the ability to do some things, they had power over unclean spirits. In Matthew 10, verse 1, He gave them power over unclean spirits. In verse 8, He would say, cast out demons. So we can see from this, if He gave them that, and He said, you can do it, they could do it. And we know they did it because they came back and certainly were very happy about being able to do this. In Mark's account, Mark words it a little bit differently, but he's saying exactly the same thing in Mark 6, verse 7. In which it says, and He called the 12 to them and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. So He's saying exactly the same thing Matthew said, that Jesus gave them that power. And in verse 13, and they, in Mark 6, they cast out many demons. And then I'm going to give this one for Edith. And anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So she was wondering where that verse was as far as they were concerned. See, I wasn't going to tell her in class, but we was going to James 5 today. So just let her know. They did. And certainly this is a miraculous way. So it was used, no doubt about it, in a miraculous way. So that goes back to when people say that, yes, they did. The apostles did. In Luke 9, verse 1, it says that He gave them power and authority over all demons. You remember, even though He gave them this power, it doesn't matter to some degree how much He gave them. You remember the time when they said they couldn't do it. They couldn't cast out the demon from the young man. And He said, well, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And what He's letting them know is what? They need to have their faith right. Because even with that ability, if they didn't have the faith that went with it, it wasn't going to happen. Just wasn't going to happen. They had to truly believe that God could accomplish these things. We know that with Peter. Glenn and I were talking about that this week. You think about Peter. Well, he had tremendous faith. He said, just ask the Lord and I'll step out of the boat. And he stepped out of the boat and he walked for a little bit and then the faith went and so did the ability to walk on the water. We've got to understand that this took both of those things. But in this limited commission, He also gave them power to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. Back in Matthew 10, verse 1, He would say that they would have that, and He would give them power to heal all kinds of this, and all kinds of now making a difference between sickness and disease that we understand better even today with the abilities God has given us. But He also says in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise... Well, I better not get to that one. We'll be using that one in a few minutes. So they had this ability. Then He gave them power to raise the dead. We find in Matthew 10, verse 8, that's what He would say. They could raise the dead. Now, if you look at this and you think about it, that's an amazing ability again. If Christ could do it, and He said they could do it as well. Now, what we don't see in this, and I will tell you up front, is nowhere in this limited commission do we ever see them raising something from the dead. It's not recorded if they did. Now, there was a second limited commission, and that's in Luke 10. Luke 10, there were 70 sent out. Have no idea. It's not listed as who the 70 were. But there were 70 disciples of Christ. Now remember, these are not his apostles yet. And you'll note that I put just the 12 disciples. They're not going to be sent yet, because that's what the word apostle means. It was a very special title. And again, when we get to this, I just want to make a point. When the Bible uses a term, and you're appointed to that, or you're given that, it becomes something that's different from the norm. If someone sends me to go do something, I'm an apostle. But I'm not an apostle appointed by Jesus Christ to do spiritual things. You see, that's what the only thing that the word means. It's just like when we talk about the church, the called out. Only when it's used in a special way in the Bible do we understand its meaning. So just keep that in mind when we get to the fact that there will be apostles. Now, Jesus gave them power. We find in Luke 10, the only place it's recorded, in verse 9, heal the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. You see what he's saying with this? By being able to perform a miracle, they're going to accept the word that you bring, because the word is what you want them to understand. So they were going to be able to heal the sick. In verse 9. And then they had power over demons, according to 10 verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And, of course, there's some that say this was actually 72 instead of 70, but that's immaterial. But there was a group of people, men, that were sent out to do this. So we have this second limited commission. But then we have what we call the Great Commission. It's a term we use because it is the greatest commission of all. It was a commission given by Jesus Christ to His disciples, because now He's going to send them under His authority to represent Him. And remember, there's actually only 11 of them at this time, but let's go to John's account. And let me make a correction while I'm in John, and I appreciate those that do pay attention to what I say, and then understand that I just give something wrong. Last week, I believe they said I said, and I'd gone back and listened to it. But I know I didn't give the right number. But I think they said I said 128 fish in John 21. And Mabel shaking her head, yes. It was 153, I believe, is the correct number. And I apologize for that. That might seem minor, but I don't want to say things that are wrong according to God's Word. And that was wrong. And so I want to correct that for both the audience here and anyone that might have been listening. But I put John 21:23. I apologize. That's John 20, 23. Or excuse me, 22. I did it all wrong. So let me just do it all wrong up front. In John 20, don't pay attention to this one. In John 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now this is the first occasion we see of this. We know that he had told them this in John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:13. He told them that the Holy Spirit was coming. He told them this, and we know that he had the Spirit without measure. But it does not say in those other commissions that the Holy Spirit, he gave them the power and ability to do so. So in Luke's account, in this great commission, and I'm kind of going backwards, remember now he has said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't receive it at this point. But in Luke 24, in the account there in verse 49, after he's told them he's going to send them out in the previous verses, what does he say? He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now, what he's telling them is, you go to Jerusalem, you stay there until you're endued with power from on high. Don't leave there. So again, he's sending them, and he's telling them what he wants them to do. We also see that in Mark's account, Mark 16, that he mentions some specific signs that would follow those who believe. And I'll talk about this just briefly. He has told them, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. People assume from this that he's saying that all who believe will receive these. That's not what he said at all.
He said it would follow those who believe. In other words, around believers, they would be able to see this kind of thing happening. Now, the evidence of this is what we can see in the New Testament, that the only ones that had all of these abilities were the apostles, which we'll talk about. He did not say that all believers could work miracles. This is just taking this completely out of context. He didn't say that at all. He said these signs would follow those who believe. We only see the apostles doing some of the things mentioned in this particular thing that Jesus was talking about. Now in this, the greater message, of course, that he's trying to present was the preaching of the gospel to all the world. And they understood this. They understood that it wasn't in the miracles and signs. They had heard Jesus repeat this over and over and over again. Actually, the message is to go to all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19, he would say, go to all the world. In Mark 16:15, he would say, preach it to every creature. Now, I want you to note something here real quickly. Even though they understood this greater message to a degree, they didn't understand this fully. When he said, go to all the world, that kind of went over their heads because they thought maybe only Jews should receive it. And for about 10 years, that's the only ones we're taught. When he said every creature, they didn't quite get that one either because they only limited it to the Jews originally when they went out to preach. Now, we're going to go to Acts and we're going to look at some of their miracles that they performed. And we're going to look at how these things occurred. And then we're going to look at miracles that occurred to them, not from them. So let's keep all of that in mind. But who are we going to limit this to? Well, we're going to limit it to what the Scriptures say. So I'm just going to give you today what the Scriptures say about this. The apostles are endued with power from on high, the Holy Spirit. We see them in Acts 2, 1 through 4, that there they are in Jerusalem, waiting. The day of Pentecost comes, and there's this huge noise, like a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Now this is interesting because if you understand the word spirit, you understand that wind, spirit, breath, all of those are translated the same. Why? Because that's something we do not see. We need our breath. We need our spirit. We need the wind. You see the results of them, but you don't see them. I can stand up here and breathe all day long. You'll never see, unless, of course, it's frosty, and I understand that, but you're not really seeing my breath. You're seeing the results of my breath. So when you think about that, that's all that they could hear it. And then there were cloven tongues like as fire lit upon each of them. And we see this, they were then all filled with the Holy Spirit. This fulfilled a promise that Jesus had made to them, that indeed, that there would be those that were baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. If you will, completely saturated with the Holy Spirit. The same as Jesus? No. But they are going to have tremendous ability. Now, the way they exhibit this, and I want you to remember this because when we're going down the line, I want you to remember something. The way they exhibited this on this occasion was that they were able to speak in other languages, but even more importantly, that as they were speaking, regardless, there were 14 different types of nationalities of Jews there, that is, Jews living in other areas, they could all understand in their tongue. They were accusing the apostles of being drunk. And I'm thinking, this is a little ridiculous because you're the one that's being able to understand it even though they're just simply speaking. And as Peter taught this lesson, they could all understand it. That's amazing. That is a miracle. That just does not happen on any other occasion. So we see this starting now. But keep in mind that the way this was exhibited was being able to speak in other languages that they had not studied. Not gibberish, but other languages. Then, in the second chapter, or the third chapter, we find that there was a lame man there who had been wanting to be healed. He'd been carried daily there to this pool. And he begged them to do something for him. Apparently, he knew about Peter and John, two apostles. Remember, I'm putting all of this in italics. Who's doing all of this for a reason that we'll get to. The lame man was healed in Acts 3, 1 through 12. And as we look at this man, he just says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, Peter had his faith. John had his faith. And he had power. And with the two of those, he's going to prove a point. They are here to speak for God. They have been sent by Jesus Christ. They are apostles. Title, everything. They are apostles. They have been sent by our Lord and Savior. And they're proving they've been sent by Him from the message taught and from the miracles that they're doing. This is not possible in normal times. He immediately stands up and starts walking. He wants to be with them. He's amazed by all of this. He just absolutely is excited about what just happened to him. But I want you to look at Acts 4. I don't think I put that one on here. Acts 4, verse 16. They bring them before the council and they understand that Peter and John are not as educated as they would like. They're kind of untrained, they say, and unlearned men. Now what they're saying is, I don't get this. Who do these men think they are? How could people like this know the Word of God? Well, there's that man standing there. He's been healed. Well, they couldn't say anything about that. Now, get this. Did the miracle produce faith in these people? No. In verse 16, what shall we do to these men? They're trying to figure a way around this. What are we going to do to them? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. These are witnesses. They know that this was done. They're not denying that at all. Do they believe in Jesus? Do they believe in these apostles being sent from Him? No. In verse 30, when they pray to God about this, and they are thanking God for having been beaten and sent away, they say, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name or the authority of your holy servant Jesus. They put it right back where it belonged. They thank God for it. This ability to be able to do this to prove where they came from, because they knew they were going to need this to show how they were receiving this power. Then we find that many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. In Acts 5, 12 through 16, it says, and through the hands of the, again, apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. You see now why I limited this subject matter to miracles, because when we get to the end of this, we're going to understand, I hope, why I did this. It says, believers were added. Why were they? Well, they understood the message taught. How did belief come about? Was it from the miracles? No, it was from the message taught. But they confirmed it through these miracles. In verse 15, so that they brought the sick out into the street, laid them on beds and couches, that at least... Now we talked about Peter, or Paul today, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. I'm going to tell you something about this. This is an amazing thing. You know, with Jesus, we talked about the woman touching the hem of His garment. But that God gave them this great ability so that they could prove who they were and what this was all about. This wasn't being used for their own glorification. This wasn't being used, if you will, to bring church membership in. This wasn't being used to say, hey, we're greater than someone else. This was being used to prove that they were sent by Christ to preach the message that He told them to preach in Matthew 28, starting with verse 18, and in Mark 16, starting with verse 15. That's all it was about. So we find them then, the multitude gathered from the surrounding city of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then we find that Peter, well, I'm going to have to go through, I kind of goofed up on this, just to let you know, but I'll jump back to one in just a moment. There we go. The apostles freed from prison. This was not a miracle that they performed. This wasn't a miracle that God, I believe, gave them the power to perform. They're in prison. And at some point, some of them's going to be in prison and they're not getting out until they're killed. But on this occasion, that's not the case. In 17 through 28, we find that there they are in prison. And at night, in verse 19, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out, saying, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. They're amazed by this. This doesn't happen. Not only does it not happen, no one knew it happened. Guards were there. They were right there. They didn't know they left. They defended themselves. They were like, wait just a second, this isn't right. And they wondered how these things could be. And they said, where are they? They said, oh, those men? They're not at the temple preaching. Not possible. You can't. They had as secure prison systems as you can get in that day and time. Then we find Peter raises Dorcas from the dead. You notice apostles? Peter? Apostle? In Acts 9, verses 36 through 42, there was a woman there at Joppa. And she became sick and died. She's a wonderful woman. And they were imploring Peter to come. And he went. And they took him to the upper room, and he sent them all out. And an interesting thing, you remember how he didn't get the demons out? You know what he did in this case? He prayed. He prayed, and he turned to the young woman, and he said, Tabitha, arise. And she arose from the dead. Did people get to see this? Well, in verse 41, he'd called the saints and widows. He presented her alive. And it became known throughout all of Joppa. What was the purpose of this? To confirm again who Peter was, where he came from, who he was representing. We find another occasion where Peter's in jail. In Acts 12, again, he didn't do this one. But a miracle's performed. He's in jail, in chains. And there he is. It said, he was bound with two chains between two soldiers. I got to tell you, that's an amazing feat. The chains came off. The soldiers never knew it. As he walked out, the doors opened up, and he walked out in the street and left. That's not normal. You know, we were talking about some things that people can trick us with. This isn't a trick. This is a miracle being performed. Now, I put theirs, but in this case, performed on them or for them, not by them. Then Edomus, Bar-Jesus, is made blind by Paul. I don't care how many times I might say to someone, be blind, it's not going to happen. I'm amazed if people use the other side of this, but can you do this? Well, he denied things, and he tried to get them in trouble. And he sought to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul looked on him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. You're enemy of righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. Struck him blind. A man crippled from birth is healed by Paul in Acts 14. They knew he'd been crippled from birth. They knew he could not walk. And all it simply says was, this man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. What's his faith in? Is his faith in just healing? No, his faith is in Jesus Christ. And he said, seeing that faith, said with a loud voice, stand up, straight on your feet. And several months later, he was healed completely. That's not what this says. And he leaped and walked. Can you imagine? I was sick once, and I'm just going to kind of finish up with this point. And I was 7 years old. And I'd lost so much blood and everything that I couldn't get out of bed for a long time. And I know many of you have had operations and stuff. And man, the first time you get up, it took me a long time, even at that age, for me to actually had to learn how to walk again, how to do things, how to build my muscles back up, how to strengthen myself. In those days, they couldn't give you things to build your blood back up. The point I'm making is, it took time. This, immediate. Immediate. We see the apostles having this tremendous power and able to do some things. We will continue this, the Lord willing, in our second assembly. And we will talk about the remaining ones that are in the book of Acts. And hopefully, I'm hoping I'm getting this one point out, that when we're talking with people, and they're so into the miracles and all of these things, and they want to be able to do those, we can see they're trying to do them more to me as a show. They bring thousands of people in, and in front of all these people, they perform these miracles. That's not what we see in any of these. None of them. It's done privately. It's not done for a show. It's done to confirm who they were. And who were they? Well, Jesus had sent them out, and he wanted a message delivered. And that message was, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we repeat it so often, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? And people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, therein lies a problem. The miracles have already been done. The words have already come. We have it complete. We're not going to get anything else. If we don't obey the words that Jesus said, he that believeth not shall be condemned. Most of those people, even after they saw the miracles and signs and wonders, still didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and that's sad. We don't want to be that way. Every one of us today, our whole intent should be in life, to leave this life and be in heaven with God eternally. We're going to stand and sing a song. If any need to be obedient to the Word of God in any way, we would be more than happy to assist you. Would you please stand?